to attack your southern flank?
Did you accept?
You know me better than that.
Toranaga's spies in Ishido's household had whispered that the bargain had been struck, and that it included responsibility for the assassination of his three sons, Noboru, Sudara, and Naga.
Nothing more? Just support? By every means at my disposal,
Yabu said delicately.
Including assassination? I intend to wage the war when it begins with all my force for my ally, in any way I can to guarantee his success. We need a sole regent in Yeimon's minority. War between you and Ishido is inevitable. It's the only way.
Yabu was trying to read Toranaga's mind. He was scornful of Toranaga's indecision, knowing that he himself was the better man, that Toranaga needed his support, that at length he would vanquish him.
But meanwhile, what to do? He asked himself, and wished Yuriko, his wife, were here to guide him.
She would know the wisest course.
I can be very valuable to you. I can help you become sole regent, he said, deciding to gamble.
Why should I wish to be sole regent?
When Ishido attacks, I can help you to conquer him. When he breaks the peace,
Yabu said.
How?
He told them his plan with the guns.
A regiment of 500 gun samurai?
Hiromatsu erupted.
Yes. Think of the firepower. All elite men, trained to act as one man. The 20 cannon, equally together. It's a bad plan, disgusting,
Hiromatsu said.
You could never keep it secret. If we start, the enemy would start also. There would never be an end to such horror. There's no honor in it, and no future. Isn't this coming war the only one we're concerned with, Lord Hiromatsu?
Yabu replied.
Aren't we concerned only with Lord Toranaga's safety? Isn't that the duty of his allies and vassals? Yes. All Lord Toranaga has to do is win the one great battle. That will give him the heads of all his enemies. And power. I say this strategy will give him victory. I say it won't. It's a disgusting plan with no honor.
Yabu turned to Toranaga.
A new era requires clear thinking about the meaning of honor.
A seagull soared overhead, mewing.
What did Ishido say to your plan?
Toranaga asked.
I did not discuss it with him.
Why? If you think your plan's valuable to me, it would be equally valuable to him. Perhaps more so.
You gave me a dawn. You're not a peasant like Ishido. You're the wisest, most experienced leader in the Empire.
What's the real reason?
Toranaga was asking himself.
Or have you told Ishido too? If this plan were to be followed, the men would be half yours and half mine.
Agreed. I would command them.
My appointee would be second in command.
Agreed. I would need the Anjin-san to train my men as gunners, cannoneers.
But he would be my property permanently. You would cherish him as you do the heir. You'd be totally responsible for him, and do with him precisely as I say.
Agreed.
Toranaga watched the crimson clouds for a moment.
This planning is all nonsense, he thought. I will have to declare Crimson Sky myself, and lunge for Kyoto at the head of all my legions. 100,000 against 10 times that number. Who will be interpreter? I can't detach Toda Mariko-san forever.
For a few weeks, sire? I will see that the barbarian learns our language.
That'd take years. The only barbarians who've ever mastered it are Christian priests, ne? They spend years. Tsuko-san's been here almost 30 years, ne?
He won't learn fast enough, any more than we can learn their foul languages.
Yes, but I promise you, this Anjin-san will learn very quickly.
Yabu told them the plan Omi had suggested to him, as if it were his own idea.
That might be too dangerous.
It would make him learn quickly, eh? And then he's tamed.
After a pause, Toranaga said,
How would you maintain secrecy during the training?
Izu is a peninsula. Security is excellent there. I'll base near Anjiro, well south and away from Mishima and the border, for more safety.
Good.
We'll set up carrier pigeon links from Anjiro to Osaka and Edo at once.
Excellent.
I need only 5 or 6 months, and... Ha! We'll be lucky to have 6 days,
Hiromatsu snorted.
Are you saying that your famous espionage net has been swept away, Yabu-san? Surely you've been getting reports. Isn't Ishido mobilizing? Isn't Onoshi mobilizing? Aren't we locked in here?
Yabu did not answer.
Well,
Toranaga said.
Yabu said, Reports indicate that all is happening, and more. If it's 6 days, then it's 6 days, and that's karma. But I believe you're much too clever to be trapped here, or provoked into an early war.
If I agreed to your plan, you would accept me as your leader?
Yes. And when you win, I would be honored to accept Suruga and Totomi as part of my fief forever.
Totomi would depend on the success of your plan.
Agreed.
You will obey me? With all your honor?
Yes. By Bushido, by the Lord Buddha, by the life of my mother, my wife, and my future posterity.
Good, Toranaga said. Let's piss on the bargain.
He went to the edge of the battlements. He stepped up on the ledge of the embrasure, then onto the parapet itself. 70 feet below was the inner garden. Hiromatsu held his breath, aghast at his master's bravado. He saw him turn and beckon Yabu to stand beside him. Yabu obeyed. The slightest touch could have sent them tumbling to their deaths. Toranaga eased his kimono and loincloth aside, as did Yabu. Together they urinated and mixed their urine and watched it dew the garden below.
The last bargain I sealed this way was with the Taiko himself,
Toranaga said, greatly relieved at being able to empty his bladder.
That was when he decided to give me the Kanto, the 8 provinces, as my fief. Of course, at that time, the enemy Hojo still owned them, so first I had to conquer them. They were our last remaining opposition. Of course, too, I had to give up my hereditary fiefs of Imagawa, Owari, and Ise at once for the honor. Even so, I agreed, and we pissed on the bargain.
He straddled the parapet easily, settling his loincloth comfortably, as though he stood in the garden itself, not perched like an eagle so far above.
It was a good bargain for both of us. We conquered the Hojo and took over 5,000 heads within the year. Stamped him out and all his tribe. Perhaps you're right, Kashigi Yabu-san. Perhaps you can help me, as I helped the Taiko. Without me, the Taiko would never have become Taiko.
I can help to make you sole regent, Toranaga-sama, but not shogun.
Of course. That's the one honor I don't seek, as much as my enemies say I do.
Toranaga jumped down to the safety of the stone flags. He looked back at Yabu, who still stood on the narrow parapet, adjusting his sash. He was sorely tempted to give him a quick shove for his insolence. Instead, he sat down and broke wind loudly.
That's better. How's your bladder, Iron Fist?
Tired, Lord. Very tired.
The old man went to the side and emptied himself, thankfully, over the battlements too. But he did not stand where Toranaga and Yabu had stood. He was very glad that he did not also have to seal the bargain with Yabu.
That's one bargain I will never honor. Never.
Yabu-san, this must all be kept secret. I think you should leave within the next 2 or 3 days,
Toranaga said.
Yes, with the guns and the barbarian, Toranaga-sama. Yes, you will go by ship.
Toranaga looked at Hiromatsu.
Prepare the galley. The ship is ready. The guns and powder are still in the holds,
Hiromatsu replied, his face mirroring his disapproval.
Good. You've done it,
Yabu wanted to shout.
You've got the guns, the engine-san, everything. You've got your 6 months. Toranaga will never go to war quickly. Even if Ishido assassinates him in the next few days, you've still got everything. Oh, Buddha, protect Toranaga until I'm at sea.
Thank you, he said, his sincerity openly vast. You'll never have a more faithful ally.
When Yabu was gone, Hiromatsu wheeled on Toranaga.
That was a bad thing to do. I'm ashamed of that bargain. I'm ashamed that my advice counts for so little. I've obviously outlived my usefulness to you, and I'm very tired. That little snot-dung daimyo knows he's manipulated you like a puppet. Why, he even had the effrontery to wear his Murasama sword in your presence.
I noticed, Toranaga said.
I think the gods have bewitched you, Lord. You openly dismiss such an insult and allow him to gloat in front of you. You openly allow Ishido to shame you in front of all of us. You prevent me and all of us from protecting you. You refuse my granddaughter, a samurai lady, the honor and peace of death. You've lost control of the council. Your enemy has outmaneuvered you. And now you piss on a solemn bargain that is as disgusting a plan as I've ever heard. And you do this with a man who deals in filth, poison and treachery, like his father before him.
He was shaking with rage. Toranaga did not answer, just stared calmly at him, as though he had said nothing.
By all kami, living and dead, you are bewitched!
Hiromatsu burst out.
I question you, and shout and insult you, and you only stare at me. You've gone mad, or I have. I ask permission to commit seppuku, or if you won't allow me that peace, I'll shave my head and become a monk. Anything, anything, but let me be gone.
You will do neither, but you will send for the barbarian priest, Tsuku-san.
And then Toranaga laughed. Chapter 19. Father Alvito rode down the hill from the castle at the head of his usual company of Jesuit outriders. All were dressed as Buddhist priests, except for the rosary and crucifix they wore at their waists. There were 40 outriders, Japanese, all well-born sons of Christian samurai, students from the seminary at Nagasaki, who had accompanied him to Osaka. All were well-mounted and caparisoned, and as disciplined as the entourage of any daimyo. He hurried along in a brisk trot, oblivious of the warm sunshine, through the woods and the city streets toward the Jesuit mission. A large stone European-style house that stood near the wharves and soared from its clustered outbuildings, treasure rooms, and warehouses, where all of Osaka's silks were bartered and paid for. The cortege clattered through the tall iron gates set in the high stone walls and into the paved central courtyard and stopped near the main door. Servants were already waiting to help Father Alvito dismount. He slid out of the saddle and threw them the reins. His spurs jingled on the stone as he strode up the cloistered walk of the main building, turned the corner, passed the small chapel, and went through some arches into the innermost courtyard, which contained a fountain and a peaceful garden. The antechamber door was open. He threw off his anxiety, composed himself, and walked in.
"Is he alone?"
he asked.
"No, no, he isn't, Martin,"
Father Soldi said. He was a small, benign, pockmarked man from Naples, who had been the Father Visitor's secretary for almost 30 years, 25 of them in Asia.
Captain General Ferreira's with His Eminence. Yes, the peacock's with him. But His Eminence said you were to go in at once. What's gone wrong, Martin?
Nothing.
Soldi grunted and went back to sharpening his quill.
Nothing, the wise father said. Well, I'll know soon enough.
Yes,
Alvito said, liking the older man. He walked for the far door. A wood fire was burning in a grate, illuminating the fine heavy furniture, dark with age and rich with polish and care. A small Tintoretto of a Madonna and Child that the father visitor had brought with him from Rome, which always pleased Alvito, hung over the fireplace.
You saw the Inglés again?
Father Soldi called after him. Alvito did not answer. He knocked at the door.
Come in!
Carlo del Acqua, father visitor of Asia, personal representative of the General of the Jesuits, the most senior Jesuit, and thus the most powerful man in Asia, was also the tallest. He stood 6'3", with a physique to match. His robe was orange, his cross exquisite. He was tonsured, white-haired, 61 years old, and by birth a Neapolitan.
Ah, Martin, come in, come in. Some wine?
He said, speaking Portuguese with a marvellous Italian liquidity.
You saw the Inglés?
No, Your Eminence. Just Torunaga.
Bad?
Yes.
Some wine?
Thank you.
How bad?
Ferreira asked. The soldier sat beside the fire in the high-backed leather chair, as proudly as a falcon and as colourful. The Fidalgo, the captain general of the Nao del Trato, this year's black ship. He was in his middle 30s, lean, slight, and formidable.
I think very bad, Captain General. For instance, Torunaga said the matter of this year's trade could wait.
Obviously, trade can't wait. Nor can I,
Ferreira said.
I'm sailing on the tide.
You don't have your port clearances. I'm afraid you'll have to wait.
I thought everything was arranged months ago.
Again, Ferreira cursed the Japanese regulations that required all shipping, even their own, to have incoming and outgoing licenses.
We shouldn't be bound by stupid native regulations. You said this meeting was just a formality, to collect the documents.
It should have been, but I was wrong. Perhaps I'd better explain.
I must return to Macau immediately to prepare the black ship. We've already purchased 1,000,000 ducats worth of the best silks at February's Canton Fair, and will be carrying at least 100,000 ounces of Chinese gold. I thought I'd made it clear that every penny of cash in Macau, Malacca, and Goa, and every penny the Macau traders and city fathers can borrow, is invested in this year's venture.
And every penny of yours.
We're just as aware as you are of its importance,
Delacroix said pointedly.
I'm sorry, Captain General, but Torunaga's president of the regents. And it's the custom to go to him,
Alvito said.
He wouldn't discuss this year's trade or your clearances. He said, initially, he did not approve of assassination.
Who does, Father?
Ferreira said.
What's Torunaga talking about, Martin?
Delacroix asked.
Is this some sort of ruse? Assassination? What has that to do with us?
He said, why would you Christians want to assassinate my prisoner, the pilot?
What?
Torunaga believes the attempt last night was on the Inglés, not him. Also, he says there was another attempt in prison.
Alvito kept his eyes fixed on the soldier.
What do you accuse me of, Father?
Ferreira said.
An assassination attempt? Me? In Osaka Castle? This is the first time I've ever been in Japan.
You deny any knowledge of it?
I do not deny that the sooner the heretic's dead, the better,
Ferreira said coldly. If the Dutch and English start spreading their filth in Asia, we're in for trouble. All of us.
We are already in trouble,
Alvido said.
Torunaga began by saying that he understands from the Inglés that incredible profits are being made from the Portuguese monopoly of the China trade, that the Portuguese are extravagantly overpricing the silks that only the Portuguese can buy in China, paying for them with the sole commodity the Chinese will accept in exchange, Japanese silver, which again, the Portuguese are equally ludicrously underpricing. Torunaga said, because hostility exists between China and Japan, and all direct trade between us is forbidden, and the Portuguese alone have their permission to carry the trade, the pilot's charge of usury should be formally replied to, in writing, by the Portuguese. He invites you, Eminence, to provide the regents with a report on rates of exchange, silver to silk, silk to silver, gold to silver. He added that he does not, of course, object to our making a large profit, providing it comes from the Chinese.
You will, of course, refuse such an arrogant request, Ferreira said.
That is very difficult.
Then provide a false report.
That would endanger our whole position, which is based on trust,
Delacroix said. Can you trust the Japo? Of course not. Our profits must remain secret. That God-cursed heretic.
I'm sorry to tell you, Blackthorn seems to be particularly well informed.
Alvito looked involuntarily at Delacroix, his guard dropping momentarily. The father visitor said nothing.
What else did the Japo say?
Ferreira asked, pretending that he had not seen the look between them, wishing he knew the full extent of their knowledge.
Torunaga asked me to provide him, by tomorrow noon, with a map of the world showing the lines of demarcation between Portugal and Spain, the names of the popes who approved the treaties, and their dates. Within 3 days, he requests a written explanation of our conquests in the New World, and, purely for my own interest, were his exact words, the amount of gold and silver taken back. He actually used Blackthorn's word plundered, taken back to Spain and Portugal from the New World. And he also requests another map showing the extent of the empires of Spain and Portugal 100 years ago, 50 years ago, and today, together with exact positions of our bases from Malacca to Goa. He named them all accurately, by the way. They were written on a piece of paper. And also the numbers of Japanese mercenaries employed by us at each of our bases.
Delacroix and Ferreira were appalled.
This must absolutely be refused, the soldier boomed.
You can't refuse, Torunaga,
Delacroix said.
I think, Your Eminence, you put too much reliance on his importance,
Ferreira said.
It seems to me that this Torunaga's just another despot king among many, just another murdering heathen, certainly not to be feared. Refuse him. Without our black ship, their whole economy collapses. They're begging for our Chinese silks. Without silks, there'd be no kimonos. They must have our trade. I say the pox on Torunaga. We can trade with the Christian kings. What were their names? Onoshi and Kiyama? And the other Christian kings of Kyushu. After all, Nagasaki's there. We're there in strength. All trade's done there.
We can't, Captain,
Delacroix said.
This is your first visit to Japan, so you've no idea of our problems here. Yes, they need us, but we need them more. Without Torunaga's favor and Ishido's, we'll lose influence over the Christian kings. We'll lose Nagasaki and everything we've built over 50 years. Did you precipitate the attempt on this heretic pilot?
I said openly to Rodriguez, and to anyone else who would listen from the very first, that the Inglés was a dangerous pirate who would infect anyone he came into contact with, and who, therefore, should be removed in any way possible. You said the same in different words, Your Eminence. So did you, Father Alvito. Didn't the matter come up at our conference with Onoshi and Kiyama 2 days ago? Didn't you say this pirate was dangerous?
Yes, but...
Father, you will forgive me, but sometimes it is necessary for soldiers to do God's work in the best way they can. I must tell you I was furious with Rodriguez for not creating an accident during the storm. He, of all people, should have known better. By the body of Christ, look what the devil Inglés has already done to Rodriguez himself. The poor fool's grateful to him for saving his life when it's the most obvious trick in the world to gain his confidence. Wasn't Rodriguez fooled into allowing the heretic pilot to usurp his own quarterdeck, suddenly almost causing his death? As to the castle attempt, who knows what happened? That has to have been ordered by a native. That's a Japo trick. I'm not sad they tried, only disgusted that they failed. When I arrange for his removal, you may rest assured he will be removed.
Alvito sipped his wine. Torunaga said that he was sending Blackthorn to Izu.
The peninsula to the east?
Ferreira asked. Yes.
By land or by ship?
By ship.
Good. Then I regret to tell you that all hands may be lost at sea in a regrettable storm.
Alvito said coldly, And I regret to tell you, Captain General, that Torunaga said, I'll give you his exact words. I am putting a personal guard around the pilot, Tsuko-san, and if any accident befalls him, it will be investigated to the limit of my power and the power of the regions. And if, by chance, a Christian is responsible, or anyone remotely associated with Christians, it's quite possible the expulsion edicts would be re-examined, and very possible that all Christian churches, schools, places of rest will be immediately closed.
Delacroix said,
God forbid that should happen.
Bluff,
Ferreira sneered. No. You're wrong, Captain General. Torunaga's as clever as a Machiavelli, and as ruthless as Attila the Hun.
Alvito looked back at Delacroix.
It would be easy to blame us if anything happened to the Inglés.
Yes. Perhaps you should go to the source of your problem,
Ferreira said bluntly.
Remove Torunaga.
This is no time for jokes,
the father visitor said.
What has worked brilliantly in India and Malaya, Brazil, Peru, Mexico, Africa, the Main, and elsewhere, will work here. I've done it myself in Malacca and Goa 12 times with the help of Japo mercenaries, and I've nowhere near your influence and knowledge. We use the Christian kings. We'll help one of them to remove Torunaga if he's the problem. A few hundred conquistadores would be enough. Divide and rule. I'll approach Kiyama. Father Alvito, if you'll interpret.
You cannot equate Japanese with Indians or with illiterate savages like the Incas. You cannot divide and rule here. Japan is not like any other nation.
Not at all,
Delacroix said wearily.
I must ask you formally, Captain General, not to interfere in the internal politics of this country.
I agree. Please forget what I said. It was indelicate and naive to be so open.
Fortunately, storms are normal at this time of the year. If a storm occurs, that is in the hand of God. But you will not attack the pilot.
Oh?
No.
Nor will you order anyone to do it. I am bound by my king to destroy the enemies of my king. The Inglés is an enemy national, a parasite, a pirate,
a heretic. If I choose to eliminate him, that is my affair.
I am Captain General of the Black Ship this year, therefore Governor of Macau this year, with vice-regal powers over these waters this year. And if I want to eliminate him, or Toranaga, or whomever, I will.
Then you do so over my direct orders to the contrary, and thereby risk immediate excommunication.
This is beyond your jurisdiction. It is a temporal matter, not a spiritual one.
The position of the church here is, regrettably, so intermixed with politics and with the silk trade, that everything touches the safety of the church. And while I live by my hope of salvation, no one will jeopardize the future of the Mother Church here.
Thank you for being so explicit, Your Eminence. I will make it my business to become more knowledgeable about Japo affairs.
I suggest you do, for all our sakes. Christianity is tolerated here only because all daimyos believe absolutely that if they expel us and stamp out the faith, the black ships will never come back. We Jesuits are sought after and have some measure of influence only because we alone can speak Japanese and Portuguese and can interpret and intercede for them on matters of trade. Unfortunately for the faith, what they believe is not true.
I'm certain trade would continue, irrespective of our position and the position of the church, because Portuguese traders are more concerned with their own selfish interests than with the service of our Lord.
Perhaps the selfish interests of the clerics who wish to force us, even to the extent of asking His Holiness for the legal powers, to force us to sail into whatever port they decide and trade with whatever daimyo they prefer, irrespective of the hazards, is equally evident.
You forget yourself, Captain General.
I do not forget that the black ship of last year was lost between here and Malacca with all hands, with over 200 tons of gold aboard and 500,000 crusados worth of silver bullion, after being delayed unnecessarily into the bad weather season because of your personal requests. Or that this catastrophe almost ruined everyone from here to Goa.
It was necessary because of the Taiko's death and the internal politics of the succession.
I do not forget you asked the Viceroy of Goa to cancel the black ship 3 years ago, to send it only when you said, to which port you decided, or that he overruled this as an arrogant interference.
That was to curb the Taiko, to bring him an economic crisis in the midst of his stupid war on Korea and China, because of the Nagasaki martyrdoms he had ordered, because of his insane attack on the church and the expulsion edicts he had just published, expelling us all from Japan. If you cooperate with us, follow our advice, all Japan would be Christian in a single generation. What is more important? Trade, or the salvation of souls?
My answer is souls. But since you've enlightened me on Japo affairs, let me put Japo affairs in the correct perspective.
Japo silver alone unlocks Chinese silks and Chinese gold.
The immense profits we make and export to Malacca and Goa, and thence to Lisbon, support our whole Asian empire. All forts, all missions, all expeditions, all missionaries, all discoveries, and pays for most, if not all, of our European commitments, prevents the heretics from overrunning us, and keeps them out of Asia, which would provide them with all the wealth they need to destroy us and the faith at home.
What's more important, Father? Spanish, Portuguese, and Italian Christendom, or Japo Christendom?
Delacour glared down at the soldier.
Once and for all, you will not involve yourself with the internal politics here.
A coal fell from the fire and spluttered on the rug. Ferreira, the nearest, kicked it to safety.
And if I'm to be curbed, what do you propose to do about the heretic? Or Torrenaga?
Delacroix sat down, believing that he had won.
I don't know at the moment. But even to think of removing Torrenaga is ludicrous. He's very sympathetic to us, and very sympathetic to increasing trade.
His voice became more withering.
And therefore, to increasing your profits.
And your profits,
Ferreira said, taking the bit again.
Our profits are committed to the work of our Lord, as you well know.
Delacroix tiredly poured some wine, offered it, placating him.
Come now, Ferreira, let's not quarrel in this fashion. This business of the heretic, terrible, yes, but quarrelling avails nothing. We need your counsel and your brains and your strength. You can believe me, Torrenaga is vital to us. Without him to restrain the other regents, this whole country will go back to anarchy again.
Yes, it's true, Captain General,
Alvito said.
But I don't understand why he's still in the castle and has agreed to a delay in the meeting. It's incredible that he seems to have been outmaneuvered. He must surely know that Osaka's locked tighter than a jealous crusader's chastity belt. He should have left days ago.
Ferreira said,
if he's vital, why support Onoshi and Kiyama? Haven't those two sided with Ishido against him? Why don't you advise them against it? It was discussed only 2 days ago.
They told us of their decision, Captain. We did not discuss it.
Then perhaps you should have, Eminence. If it's so important, why not order them against it, with a threat of excommunication?
Delacroix sighed.
I wish it were so simple. You don't do things like that in Japan. They abhor outside interference in their internal affairs. Even a suggestion on our part has to be offered with extreme delicacy.
Ferreira drained his silver goblet and poured some more wine and calmed himself, knowing that he needed the Jesuits on his side, that without them as interpreters he was helpless.
You've got to make this voyage successful, he told himself. You've soldiers and sweated 11 years in the service of the king to earn, rightfully, 20 times over, the richest prize in his power to give, the captain generalship of the annual black ship for 1 year, and the 10th part that goes with the honor, a 10th of all silk, of all gold, of all silver, and of all profit from each transaction. You're rich for life now, for 30 lifetimes if you had them, all from this one single voyage. If you accomplish it.
Ferreira's hand went to the haft of his rapier, to the silver cross that formed part of the silver filigree.
By the blood of Christ, my black ship will sail on time from Macau to Nagasaki, and then, the richest treasure ship in history, she'll head south with the monsoon in November for Goa, and thence home. As Christ is my judge, that's what's going to happen.
And he added silently,
if I have to burn all Japan and all Macau and all China to do it, by the Madonna.
Our prayers are with you. Of course they are,
Delacroix replied, meaning it.
We know the importance of your voyage.
Then what do you suggest? Without port clearances and safe conducts to trade, I'm hamstrung. Can't we avoid the regents? Perhaps there's another way.
Delacroix shook his head.
Martin, you're our trade expert.
I'm sorry, but it's not possible, Alvito said.
He had listened to the heated exchange with simmering indignation.
Foul-mannered, arrogant, motherless cretin, he had thought. Then immediately, oh God, Give me patience, for without this man and others like him, the church dies here. I'm sure within a day or two, Captain General, everything will be sealed. A week at the most. Torunaga has very special problems at the moment. It will be all right, I'm sure.
I'll wait a week. No more. The undercurrent of menace in Ferreira's tone was frightening. I'd like to get my hands on that heretic. I'd rack the truth out of him. Did Torunaga say anything about the supposed fleet? An enemy fleet?
No.
I'd like to know that truth, because inbound, my ship will be wallowing like a fat pig, her holds bulging with more silks than have ever been sent at one time. We're one of the biggest ships in the world, but I've no escort, so if a single enemy frigate were to catch us at sea, or that Dutch whore, the Erasmus, we'd be at her mercy. She'd make me haul down the imperial flag of Portugal with no trouble at all. Inglés had better not get his ship to sea, with gunners and cannon and shot aboard.
È vero, è solamente vero,
Delagua muttered.
Ferreira finished his wine. When's Blackthorn being sent to Izu?
Torunaga didn't say, Alvito replied. I got the impression it would be soon.
Today?
I don't know. Now the regents meet in 4 days. I would imagine it would be after that.
Delacroix said heavily, Blackthorn must not be interfered with, neither he nor Torunaga.
Ferreira stood up.
I'll be getting back to my ship. You'll dine with us, both of you, at dusk? There's a fine capon, a joint of beef, and Madeira wine, even some new bread.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Delacour brightened slightly.
Yes, some good food again would be wonderful. You're very kind.
You'll be informed the instant I have word from Torunaga, Captain General. Alvito said,
Thank you.
When Ferreira had gone and the visitor was sure that he and Alvito could not be overheard, he said anxiously,
Martin, what else did Torunaga say?
He wants an explanation, in writing, of the gun-running incident and the request for conquistadores.
Mamma mia!
Torunaga was friendly, even gentle, but, well, I've never seen him like this before.
What exactly did he say?
I understand, Suku-san, that the previous head of your order of Christians, Father D'Acuña, wrote to the governors of Macau, Goa, and the Spanish viceroy in Manila, Don Cisco y Vivera, in July of 1588 of your counting, asking for an invasion of hundreds of Spanish soldiers with guns to support some Christian daimyos in a rebellion which the chief Christian priest was trying to incite against their lawful liege lord, my late master, the Taiko. What were the names of these daimyos? Is it true that no soldiers were sent, but vast numbers of guns were smuggled into Nagasaki under your Christian seal, from Macau? Is it true that the Father Giant secretly seized these guns when he returned to Japan for the second time, as ambassador from Goa, in March or April 1590, by your counting, and secretly smuggled them out of Nagasaki on the Portuguese ship, the Santa Cruz, back to Macau?
Alvito wiped the sweat off his hands.
Did he say anything more?
Not of importance, Eminence. I had no chance to explain. He dismissed me at once. The dismissal was polite, but it was still a dismissal.
Where is that cursed Englishman getting his information from?
I wish I knew.
Those dates and names, you're not mistaken? He said them exactly like that?
No, Eminence. The names were written on a piece of paper. He showed it to me.
Blackthorn's writing,
No. The names were written phonetically in Japanese, in hiragana.
We've got to find out who's interpreting for Toranaga. He must be astonishingly good. Surely not one of ours. It can't be Brother Manuel, can it?
He asked busily, using Masamune no Jiro's baptismal name. Jiro was the son of a Christian samurai who had been educated by the Jesuits since childhood, and being intelligent and devout, had been selected to enter the seminary to be trained to be a full priest of the four vows, of which there were none from the Japanese yet. Jiro had been with the society for 20 years. Then, incredibly, he left before being ordained, and he was now a violent antagonist of the church.
No, Manuel still in Kyushu. May he burn in hell forever. He's still a violent enemy of Torunaga's. He'd never help him. Fortunately, he was never party to any political secrets. The interpreter was the Lady Maria,
Alvito said, using Toda Mariko's baptismal name.
Torunaga told you that?
No, Your Eminence. But I happen to know that she's been visiting the castle, as she was seen with the Inglés.
You're sure?
Our information is completely accurate.
Good,
Delacroix said.
Perhaps God is helping us in his inscrutable fashion. Send for her at once.
I've already seen her. I made it my business to meet her by chance. She was delightful, as always, deferential, pious, as always. But she said pointedly before I had an opportunity to question her, "Of course, the Empire is a very private land, Father, and some things, by custom, have to stay very private. Is it the same in Portugal and within the Society of Jesus?"
"You're her confessor?"
"Yes, but she won't say anything."
"Why?"
"Clearly, she's been forewarned and forbidden to discuss what happened and what was said. I know them too well. In this, Torunaga's influence would be greater than ours."
"Is her faith so small? Has our training of her been so inept?" "Surely not. She's as devout and as good a Christian as any woman I've ever met. One day she'll become a nun, perhaps even the first Japanese abbess."
"Yes. But she will say nothing now."
"The church is in jeopardy. This is important, perhaps too important," Delacroix said. "She would understand that. She's far too intelligent not to realize it."
"I beg you, do not put her faith to the test in this. We must lose. She warned me. That's what she was saying as clearly as if it were written down."
"Perhaps it would be good to put her to the test for her own salvation."
"That's up to you to order or not to order. But I'm afraid that she must obey Torunaga, Eminence, and not us."
"I will think about Maria."
"Yes," Delacroix said.
He let his eyes drift to the fire, the weight of his office crushing him.
"Poor Maria. That cursed heretic! How do we avoid the trap? How do we conceal the truth about the guns? How could a father superior and vice-provincial like da Cunha, who was so well-trained, so experienced, with 7 years practical knowledge in Macau and Japan, how could he make such a hideous mistake?"
"How?"
he asked the flames.
"I can answer," he told himself. "It's too easy. You panic or you forget the glory of God or become pride-filled or arrogant or petrified.
Who wouldn't have, perhaps, under the same circumstances? To be received by the Taiko at sunset with favor, a triumphal meeting with pomp and ceremony, almost like an act of contrition by the Taiko, who was seemingly on the point of converting. And then to be awakened in the middle of the same night, with the Taiko's expulsion edicts, decreeing that all religious orders were to be out of Japan within 20 days on pain of death. never to return. And worse, that all Japanese converts throughout the land were ordered to recant at once, or they would immediately be exiled or put to death.
Driven to despair, the superior had wildly advised the Kyushu Christian daimyos, Onoshi, Misaki, Kiyama, and Harima of Nagasaki among them, to rebel to save the church, and had written frantically for conquistadores to stiffen the revolt. The fire spluttered and danced in the iron grate.
Yes, all true,
Delacroix thought.
If only I'd known. If only that Cunha had consulted me first. But how could he? It takes 6 months to send a letter to Goa, and perhaps another 6 months for one to return. And the Cunha did write immediately. But he was the superior, and on his own, and had to cope at once with the disaster.
Though Delacroix had sailed immediately on receiving the letter, with hastily arranged credentials as ambassador from the Viceroy of Goa, it had taken months to arrive at Macau, only to learn that de Cunha was dead, and that he and all fathers were forbidden to enter Japan on pain of death. But the guns had already gone. Then, after 10 weeks, came the news that the church was not obliterated in Japan, that the Taiko was not enforcing his new laws. Only 50 churches had been burned. Only Takayama had been smashed. And word seeped back that though the edicts would remain officially in force, the Taiko was now prepared to allow things to be as they were, provided that the fathers were much more discreet in their conversions, their converts more discreet and well-behaved, and that there were no more blatant public worship or demonstrations, and no burning of Buddhist churches by zealots. Then, when the ordeal seemed at an end, Delacroix had remembered that the guns had gone weeks before, under Father Superior da Cunha's seal, that they still lay in the Jesuit Nagasaki warehouses. More weeks of agony ensued, until the guns were secretly smuggled back to Macau.
Yes, under my seal this time,
Delacroix reminded himself. Hopefully the secret buried forever.
But those secrets never leave you in peace, however much you wish or pray. How much does the heretic know?
For more than an hour, His Eminence sat motionless in his high-backed leather chair, staring sightlessly at the fire. Alvito waited patiently near the bookcase, his hands in his lap. Shafted sunlight danced off the silver crucifix on the wall behind the father visitor. On one side wall was a small oil by the Venetian painter Titian that Delacroix had bought in his youth in Padua, where he had been sent by his father to study law. The other wall was lined with his Bibles and his books, in Latin, Portuguese, Italian, and Spanish. And from the society's own movable type press at Nagasaki that he had ordered and brought at so much cost from Goa 10 years ago, 2 shelves of Japanese books and pamphlets. Devotional books and catechisms of all sorts, translated with painstaking labor into Japanese by Jesuits. Works adapted from Japanese into Latin to try to help Japanese acolytes learn that language. And last, 2 small books that were beyond price. The first Portuguese-Japanese grammar, Father Sancho Alvarez's life's work, printed 6 years ago, and its companion, the incredible Portuguese-Latin-Japanese dictionary, printed last year in Roman letters, as well as Hiragana script. It had been begun at his order 20 years ago, the first dictionary of Japanese words ever compiled. Father Alvito picked up the book and caressed it lovingly. He knew that it was a unique work of art. For 18 years, he himself had been compiling such a work, and it was still nowhere near finished. But his was to be a dictionary with explanatory supplements and far more detailed, almost an introduction to Japan and the Japanese, and he knew without vanity that if he managed to finish it, it would be a masterpiece compared to Father Alvarez's work, that if his name was ever to be remembered, it would be because of his book and the father visitor, who was the only father he had ever known.
You want to leave Portugal, my son, and join the service of God?
The giant Jesuit had said the first day he had met him.
Oh, yes, please, father,
he had replied, craning up at him with desperate longing.
How old are you, my son?
I don't know, Father. Perhaps 10, perhaps 11. But I can read and write. The priest taught me. And I'm alone. I've no one of my own. I belong to no one.
Delacroix had taken him to Goa, and thence to Nagasaki, where he had joined the seminary of the Society of Jesus, the youngest European in Asia, at long last belonging. Then came the miracle of the gift of tongues, and the positions of trust as interpreter and trade adviser. First to Harima Tadao, daimyo of the fief of Hizen in Kyushu, where Nagasaki lay, and then in time to the Taiko himself. He was ordained, and later even attained the privilege of the fourth vow. This was the special vow over and above the normal vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, given only to the elite of Jesuits, the vow of obedience to the Pope personally, to be his personal tool for the work of God, to go where the Pope personally ordered and do what he personally wanted. To become, as the founder of the society, the Basque soldier Loyola, designed, one of the regimini militantis ecclesiae, one of the professed, the special private soldiers of God, for his elected general on earth, the vicar of Christ.
I've been so very lucky, Alvito thought. Oh God, help me to help.
At last Delacroix got up and stretched and went to the window. Sun sparkled off the gilded tiles of the soaring central castle donjon, the sheer elegance of the structure belying its massive strength.
Tower of evil, he thought. How long will it stand there to remind each one of us? Is it only 15? No, it was 17 years ago that the Taiko put 400,000 men to building and excavating and bled the country to pay for this, his monument. And then, in 2 short years, Osaka Castle was finished. Incredible man, incredible people. Yes. And there it stands, indestructible, except to the finger of God. He can humble it in an instant if he wishes. Oh God, help me to do thy will. Well, Martin, it seems we have work to do.
Delacroix began to walk up and down, his voice now as firm as his step.
About the English pilot, if we don't protect him, he'll be killed. And we'll risk Torunaga's disfavor. If we manage to protect him, he'll soon hang himself. But dare we wait? His presence is a threat to us, and there is no telling how much further damage he can do before that happy date. Or we can help Torunaga to remove him. Or last, we can convert him.
Alvito blinked. What?
He's intelligent. Very knowledgeable about Catholicism? Aren't most Englishmen really Catholic at heart? The answer is yes, if their king or queen is Catholic, and no, if he or she is Protestant. The English are careless about religion. They're fanatic against us at the moment, but isn't that because of the Armada? Perhaps Blackthorn can be converted. That would be the perfect solution. To the glory of God, and save his heretic soul from a damnation he's certainly going to.
Next, Torunaga.
We'll give him the maps he wants. Explain about spheres of influence. Isn't that really what the lines of demarcation were for? To separate the influence of the Portuguese and our Spanish friends? Si, è vero. Tell him that on the other important matters, I will personally be honored to prepare them for him, and will give them to him as soon as possible. Because I'll have to check the facts in Macau, could he please grant a reasonable delay? And in the same breath, say that you are delighted to inform him that the black ship will sail 3 weeks early, with the biggest cargo of silks and gold ever. That all our assignments of goods and our portion of the cargo, and, he thought a moment, and at least 30% of the whole cargo will be sold through Torunaga's personally appointed broker.
Eminence, the Captain General won't like sailing early, and won't like...
It will be your responsibility to get Toranaga's immediate sailing clearance for Ferreira. Go and see him at once with my reply. Let him be impressed with our efficiency.